If a Christian doesn't pray about heaven, that's a remarkable lack. Who ever heard of exiles not thinking about home?
Now, I said, that's exactly what the rosary is. We are in a new moment of time and a new moment of space. So we keep saying to our Lord and to the Blessed Mother, I love you, I love you.
That's the Holy Rosary. That's the Catholic faith. The whole Catholic faith is in it.
Well, I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decad, your Rosary on the Road. We're starting the week this week on a cold one. There's nothing that wakes you up quite like a pair of ice-cold earbuds that you put in your ears. I should really stop leaving these in the car. I have a prayer request today from a very long-time listener of the show who's got an excellent Telegram channel. Alethea, I think it's Kinoplotia is the second half of that. It's Greek, so it's transliterated into English. It starts with an X. So it's Alethea, X-E. N-I-P, and I forget the rest of how it's the rest of it spelled. I want to say it's Plotia, but I might be wrong about that. Latin is my language. Greek is Greek to me. But we're praying for her. She's been listening in for a very long time, and her channel is very worth looking at. It's a wonderful collection of Catholic resources, and there's plenty on there that's also very friendly to those of us who are concerned with the survival of our people. And so if you have any interest at all in sort of the European patrimony, I think is the best way to put that, and specifically the Catholic European patrimony, her Telegram channel is absolutely excellent. So I definitely recommend that you go over there and subscribe to it. She has a prayer here, though, that she'd like to pray for the conversion of her papa to the Roman Catholic Church. Now, in this day and age, there's not many left that refer to their father as papa. There's a select few that I know because we've hung on to the old ethnic ways, you know, from the old country. But in most cases, I think this refers to a grandfather. So in any case, what I've decided to do is we're just going to pray for her papa, whether that's her father or whether that's her grandfather. We'll pray for his soul, for his conversion to the true faith, and for his coming to rest at the end of long days in the bosom of our Lord and Lady. If you have any prayer requests, I encourage you to send those in. I have one request so far in response to the Oremus post that I made on Sunday. That's the post that we make every Sunday if you have on the Telegram channel. I probably ought to start doing it on the Fediverse and on Gab as well. If you have any prayer requests, you can respond to that, and then I'll add those prayer requests to my list here. Now, I have prayer requests sort of filled out for most of the month here, but nevertheless, they are, I welcome them to be sent in starting in February, and we have a couple of requiems left in January. So feel free to send those in by commenting on the Telegram channel. You can send me a message on Gab at the Daily Decad. Telegram, likewise, at the Daily Decad. I'm also on the Fediverse on the post instance, so it's going to be poa.sd/@thedailydecad. You can also send in an email, the tried and true fashion, dailydecadrequests@proton.me. That's Decad, D-E-C-A-D-E. Requests in the plural. At proton.m for Michael, E for Elizabeth, proton.me. And then, of course, there's the website, praytherosaryeveryday.wordpress.com. You can comment on any one of the posts I make on there, or feel free to make comments on one of the other places where the show is syndicated. With the PrayerCast can be found at exodusamericanus.com as well as americaner.org. And I hope that everyone will keep the proprietors of those sites very much in their prayers. A lot of great guys over there, Roscoe and Walrus and Luffy and Southern Spumoni, great guy. And then, of course, Gordon at Americana. Americana Grug is over there, and Eurodingo, and a whole lot of other really excellent, just exquisite gentlemen all around, who really deserve our prayers and who need all the help they can get because they're doing something great. And I pray for them, and I hope that you will as well. Now, having gotten all that housekeeping stuff out of the way, I just realized that when I started recording, I left my rosary in my pocket, which makes this part a little bit difficult. Now, all right, now I've got my rosary in my hands, and we can say our prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who by the Holy Ghost was conceived, was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. For an increase in faith, hope, and charity, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The second joyful mystery is the visitation of the Blessed Mother with St. Elizabeth. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping from this vale of tears. Turn then, O gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy unto us, and after this, our exile, shew unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. O God, who didst deign to send thine only begotten Son, who by his life, death, and resurrection didst purchase for us the rewards of eternal life, look with favor on us, that meditating on the sacred mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we may imitate what they contain and obtain what they promise. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Saint Remigius, spiritual conqueror, we humbly beg thy intercession, that as thou didst convert that father of the nation of the Franks, who wouldst unite Europe in his grandson, Charlemagne, his descendant Charlemagne, that by thy prayers, this man, beloved by the by a handmaiden of God, should also be converted, that his heart should be full of grace and of the charity of God, and that he should embrace his mother, our mother the Church, and his Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, in his fullness, that he may enter into the joy of his Lord at the end of his long days. And we ask this in the name of the same Lord, Jesus Christ, who livest and reignest with God the Father and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen. For all of us who have not been converted in the way that we ought to be converted, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, thy kingdom come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Never neglect saints that you don't think about often. We think about, or that you think about often, but not as saints. There are so many saints that are these great historical figures. St. Vladimir of Kiev, St. Remigius, St. Anselm of Canterbury, St. Patrick. We think of them as being these men that did great things. Even Leo the Great, or Gregory the Great, St. Benedict the Nursia, the founder of Western monasticism, they stand out to us as these great historical figures. But when we think of saints to pray to, so many people go running to the usual. And this is not to downplay them. I've prayed to St. Therese of Lisieux on here before. I've prayed to St. Ignatius of Loyola. Pray to the various apostles. We think of them only as saints. But there are great historical figures, too, that we don't always pray to. And yet, their great accomplishments have granted to them special patronage over us. St. Remigius is Saint Remy, He's a patron of France, in the same way that St. Dunstan is a patron of the English, St. Anselm too, and St. Thomas Becket. These are patrons. They're St. Patrick, St. Bridget, St. Columba of Ireland. You have great saints that come out of the Spanish Crusades. You have great saints that come out of Italy, out of the Germanies. I won't say Germany because at the time there were several. Really, it wasn't a unified state of affairs. And so you have out of the Germanies and out of the Italies, both in a way plural throughout the Middle Ages. Our people, speaking as a European, a man of European extraction, speaking as a white man, our people have so many saints, so many patrons specifically of our nations that I think get neglected a bit and could really do with more attention from us. And if you're listening to this and you're not a white man or not a white woman, if you're not of European extraction, you have saints too, very important saints that have patronized your countries, and probably ones that are well within the historical record because of how Christianity has spread throughout the world, how Catholicism specifically has spread throughout the world. And so there are these great national patrons, and I think it's something that we have as a people sort of lost, particularly in America. And I mean, the Protestantism of America plays a role in that, the loss of the saints as a thing. But we do have these great patrons, these great heroes, these great warriors who fought for us in life and now share the triumph in heaven. And keeping them in mind, keeping them before us, is another way to stay connected with this greater family that God has given us. And we all belong to some greater whole. None of us is, no man is created an individual. He is created part of a greater whole to which he belongs. The only individuals that were ever created in history were Adam and Eve. That's it. It starts that way. But man, by nature, branches out, which is why when you read the scriptures, everyone is referred to by the nation to which he belongs, that usually is the bloodline to which he belongs. You know, you have the line of Cain and the line of Seth already, right there in the beginning, after Cain and Abel. You have these two nations that are born, the nation of Cain and the nation of Seth. And the nation of Seth is preserved by Noah and his sons, and the nation of Cain is exterminated. Or the tribe of Cain, or however you want, the race of Cain, however you want to refer to it. This discrete human population was entirely evil and was wiped out. And this other discrete human population was not entirely evil, and so was preserved. And all mankind comes from that line. And thereafter, these other nations arise. And some nations are wicked, and some nations are blessed. Some nations are a mixed bag. Some nations are used by God as tools of his vengeance, and some as tools of his blessings. And it has been that way all the way through. And that brings us around to the first nation that really matters in the history of salvation, and that's the nation of Abraham. This is before you get to the nation of Israel. And when I say that, I don't mean the modern political entity in the Levant. I mean the actual, the real nation of Israel, the one that falls apart with the Assyrian invasion and ends up becoming a sort of rump population that eventually follow Christ. And then there's yet more of a rump population that don't follow Christ and end up being modern Jews. No, I'm talking about the ancient one, the old one, the nation, the real nation of Israel, the ones that are descendant from Israel, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. Because that's the other beginning. We talked about a beginning last week at the beginning of Adam and Eve, and now we're talking about another beginning, the beginning of the nation. And here, God has once again taken the mirror of human imperfection and with his own, or taken human imperfection, and with this sort of perfect funhouse mirror, spiritual mirror, held it up, and the reflection is this next essential step in our salvation. We're told in the scripture that the next thing that happens, or really the beginning of the whole story of our salvation, begins in the book, in the Gospel of Luke, with the coming of the angel to Zacharias and to his wife Elizabeth, who conceive in their old age. Where have we heard this before? This is Sarai and Abram. And Abraham and Sarah, as they would become, have an opposite reaction. Abraham is sort of perfectly trusting of God. He just kind of bumbles along. He doesn't quite know what he's doing, but he's trusting of God. And God tells him, I'll give you a son. And Abraham said, okay, well, you know, we'll see how that works out. I'm game. And not to downplay Abraham's faithfulness, which is complete, but it's also simple. He doesn't give it a lot of thought, which is why ultimately when Sarai comes to him and brings him Hagar, and he knows her, Abraham is in many ways innocent of what he's doing. Oh, God is going to give me a son. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. Maybe this is the way that it happens. And so you have the son of the bondwoman who is there, the son of the bondwoman, contrasted with the son of the free woman. And these are prefigurements of humanity saved and humanity bound to sin. Ishmael is, well, it's not through any fault of his own, but Ishmael is an archetype for mankind bound to the world and bound to sin. It's not really very surprising that all of Ishmael's descendants end up being Muslims, a very material religion. And then, of course, Isaac. Now, the Blessed Mother and Elizabeth, we have a sort of shift here. On the one hand, just looking at Elizabeth and St. John the Baptist, who is going to announce the coming of the Messiah in much the same way that Isaac announces the rise of the nation of Israel, because he's the one that gives the blessing on to Jacob. And there's a split, Jacob and Esau. And the Edomites eventually become kings of Israel. But he gives the blessing to Israel, to Jacob, and thus announces the foundation of what would become the nation that was supposed to be the light of nations. And they fail in that task, but that's what their purpose was. St. John the Baptist announces the coming of the Messiah, the fulfillment of the purpose of Israel. That's something people miss. When the Messiah comes, Israel is done. It has served its purpose. The Messiah is the complete fulfillment of that entire idea of this chosen people of God. The chosen people are there as a sort of, it's almost like an ethnic incubator that's set until God's plan hatches. And God's plan is our salvation, the salvation of the entire human race, everyone descended from Noah. And Christ, the Messiah, makes Israel obsolete, transfers everything into the church. Well, here we have the foundation of Israel, and we have the foundation, the announcement of the Messiah in John the Baptist. And so Elizabeth and Zacharias play the role of Abraham and Sarah, except that Elizabeth is the one who quietly accepts with faith the gift that has been given to her, and Zacharias is incredulous. And so Zacharias is struck dumb. The voice is taken out of the priest. And Elizabeth surrenders her voice. She doesn't speak either. She goes and quietly slips away and waits. And then the Blessed Mother comes to her as a gift, as a fulfillment, a presentation. Zacharias isn't the one to greet Mary at the door. He's not the one to see the Messiah arrive there in the womb. Elizabeth is. She just gets that reward. Just as Abraham was perfectly faithful but simple, Elizabeth likewise. And so you have this mirror held up. And then the mirror continues, because you have the woman who is the bond woman, Elizabeth and Zacharias, bound by original sin. And you have the Blessed Mother and Christ. And of course, everyone knows that the Roman Catholic Church teaches on this subject about the Immaculate Conception of Mary, that she's born, she's conceived free of original sin. But even if you reject that dogma and you're not Catholic, because if you reject that dogma, you're not Catholic, regardless of what you call yourself. If you reject that dogma, even still, the immaculate quality of the Blessed Mother, which is held by the Eastern Orthodox, as it is, I think, by some of the High Church Protestants, her immaculate nature, the fact that she is purified by Christ being born of her, she has a special place because of that. This reflection works and should be easy to understand, because she is the free woman and her son the free man, just as St. John the Baptist and Elizabeth are not. Still bound as they are to this world, they are made free by the coming of Mary into the house of Elizabeth. The understanding of the church is that when St. John the Baptist leaps for joy in the womb, it is because Christ has purified him. So that when St. John is born, he is already baptized. He is free of the original sin that is washed away when we are baptized. And likewise his mother. They are made saints in that moment. And so you see the free man, the free woman, the son of the free woman, comes and brings salvation and liberty. The only real kind of liberty that there is, the only real kind of freedom that mankind has ever enjoyed or will ever enjoy, the freedom from sin that is given by following Jesus Christ. And so here you have Abraham and Sarah, and Abraham and Hagar. And freedom is given to the descendants of sinful man through Elizabeth and the Blessed Mother and Jesus and St. John. Now there's another layer to this that I would like to get into, but I don't know that I have time to do that. And that's that there's also a noadic quality here. Or I guess Noahide is the term that's used to describe anything related to Noah. Because there's a promise. But that's something to get into at another time. But see here how salvation is always consistent. There's a beautiful symmetry to everything that God does. Just as there's a symmetry in our lives, with every gift that God gives, every trial that he sends. And if we look for that symmetry, and we are able to situate ourselves in the middle, in the split, and walk down that path, that's the straight and narrow that leads us to Almighty God. And may we all be able to navigate the symmetry of our lives and the symmetry of God's salvation, so that we may ultimately find ourselves in the presence of our Creator, the great author of this symmetry. And he may say to us that we have done well by him and his creation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
The moon is the symbol of Our Lady. The moon is for those in darkness. And I think in a special way for sinners. So that if we but look to her who is the moon and derives all light from the sun, they would never fall into an abyss. Now this is the rosary.